For WKU Public Radio, I'm Dan Modlin. Almost from the first skirmishes and battles of the Civil War, the number of casualties was overwhelming. 21,000 in the Battle of Richmond alone. After the Battle of Chickamauga, hospitals and homes were filled from Chattanooga to Atlanta. The large number of survivors is credited to women stepping up and volunteering as nurses. As our series on women in the Civil War continues during this Women's History Month, Joe Corcoran speaks with WKU military historian Dr. Jack Thacker and WKU Civil War historian Dr. Glenn LaFantasy about ordinary women leaving their towns and farms to fill extraordinary roles.
One of the new things was the fact that women served in large numbers as nurses. Over 4,000 paid female nurses in the Union Army. We don't have the records for the Confederacy. But obviously huge numbers of Confederate women served as nurses also. For instance, after the battle, seven-day battles, and especially the Battle of Malvern Hill, there were 21,000 wounded in Richmond. And it covered all the hospitals, almost every house in the area, and women, huge numbers of women came out and nursed them. And so there was and if you look at the records on the Battle of Chickamauga, for instance, the aftermath of that two-day battle in September 19 and 20 in 1863, you have every hospital from Chattanooga to Atlanta filled, and huge numbers of wounded brought back by rail to Atlanta and put in private homes and nursed by women. So I think one of the things that made a big difference goes back to the Crimean War and Florence Nightingale, who became one of the great heroes of the Crimean War, being a nurse to the troops. And this made it socially acceptable for women to be nurses, which had not been the case prior to this time.
You mentioned about the Battle of Chickamauga and all the wounded. I see that scene in Gone with the Wind where the camera just slowly pulls out of all the wounded just laying on the ground. And
yeah, it's only inaccuracy is probably there aren't enough soldiers lying on the ground.
Yeah.
And what would happen after a battle, or in that case, the siege of Atlanta, is that women, and this is portrayed actually in Gone with the Wind, women even like Scarlett O'Hara, a selfish young woman, did become volunteer nurses. So after a battle, people in a very wide radius, whether this battle was Gettysburg in Pennsylvania or Chickamauga in Georgia, women would come to the battlefield and volunteer their services. And they might only serve in the aftermath of that particular battle, but nevertheless, this was something that Americans on both sides and women on both sides thought it was their duty to do, and also recognized that this was one way that they could serve their respective countries.
And let me make a point, too, and this is very important. If you go back to the Napoleonic Wars, or you go even to the Crimean War, if you were you had a much greater chance of dying if you were wounded than you did in the Civil War. That the women's much of the women's service, and especially in the area of cleanliness and that sort of thing, which was what Florence Nightingale was doing was basically the work of an orderly rather than a nurse, what we would call today. But in the Civil War battle, it was the Crimean War was fought between 1854 and 1856. Yet in the Civil War from 1861 to 65, death rate from somebody wounded was half as much.
Even in that little 10-year span.
Even that 10-year span. Yeah. And that part of it, I think, was due to the fact they got much better nursing care, partially due to that part.
Well, I was going to say, these women volunteering to be nurses or getting involved, did they realize what they were getting into? That's not easy duty.
No.
probably not. No. In most cases, they did not. Certainly, someone like Louisa May Alcott, who volunteered and went from Massachusetts to Washington to serve as a nurse, she admits fully in her famous book, Hospital Sketches, that this was a very rude awakening for her. And it wasn't just the Victorian sensibilities, obviously, of of seeing a male naked, but of course the maimed and disfigured men that had to be treated was just a horrible scene. Without the kind of medical techniques and knowledge that we have today, so that while they were probably performing such things as triage, they didn't know about triage, and had to do it anyway. I mean, those kinds of things were a real shock to many women. To their credit, these 4,000 that we know served as union nurses, and an unknown number, probably close to equal number in the Confederacy. To their credit, many of these women simply stood up, passed the test, and did their jobs, and did them for fairly long periods of time. Louise May Alcott did not remain a nurse. She got ill and had to be taken home. But in other instances, many of these nurses, under the direction of Dorothea Dix, and two organizations in the Union, the U.S. Sanitary Commission and the U.S. Christian Commission, also provided nurses, because female nurses in the military was a new thing, and even having a medical corps in the Army was a relatively new thing. So all of this had to be invented as they went along, and you know, it proved to be a vital aspect of the Civil War.
There's one ironic thing that happened on the same day, April 19th, 1861, when Clara Barton, who was working in the patent office, looked outside and saw the 6th Massachusetts Regiment, which had gone through Baltimore and been severely attacked by the pro-Southern crowd in Baltimore, and a lot of them hurt and everything, and got very upset, went out and brought them into her home and began to nurse them, and that began her career. On that same day, Dorothea Dix, who had already established a reputation in the medical profession, had gone to the White House to volunteer her services. So the two most famous women in the Northern Civil War, for the North in the Civil War, they started their service the same day.
WKU Civil War historians Dr. Glenn LaFantasy and Dr. Jack Thacker. Next Monday, in the third part of our series of reports on women in the Civil War, women by necessity filling new roles in factories, on the farm, and in the home. That report can be heard next Monday at 5:50 a.m. and 7:50 a.m. Central Time during Morning Edition here on WKU Public Radio.